Oh, hallelujah. Appreciate the moving of the Spirit in the singing this morning. Turn your Bibles to Luke 14. Praise the Lord. Appreciate the Spirit of the Lord in the house as we open up our hearts to Him. Amen. Lord willing, we'll take a hiatus from the parables after this Sunday for the Christmas season. And we'll be sharing on the Christmas story. But this morning we'll be looking at Luke 14. We'll begin reading verse 16 in a moment. But if you'd want to keep your Bibles open, we'll be referring to some previous verses as well. Hallelujah. These parables are all about the kingdom. I want to be a part of the kingdom because we have a glorious King. I was thinking this morning of the song we used to sing quite a bit. We shall see the King when He comes. Who's going to see the King? The people of the kingdom, they're going to see the King. Amen. Would you stand for the reading of God's Word? Luke chapter 14, we'll begin reading at verse 16. Then said Jesus unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And he did that. And the servant said, Lord, it's done as thou commanded, and yet there is room. We could stop and shout right there. Yet there is room. Hallelujah. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Last part of verse 23, this is about a great banquet and great supper. But last part of verse 23, the Lord who prepared the supper, who spread the table, said, I want my house filled. I believe if the Lord was saying anything to the people of the kingdom this morning, the Lord would be saying, fill my house. Fill my house. Hallelujah. God doesn't care who they are, where they've come from. He invites everyone to His table. He wants His house to be full. Father, help us this morning. Anoint us with Your Spirit. Anoint us with Your touch. Help us to hear from heaven. Jesus be magnified. Jesus be glorified. And Lord, meet the needs of folks in this house. Whatever the need might be, that You would meet it. In the name of Jesus, I pray for Your special touch this morning. In the name of Christ, amen. You can be seated. Well, years ago, our children were watching a video around this time, and I don't remember the particulars really well, but being Christian parents, they were talking to their children about being kind to folks that were less fortunate, the people that were sick, the people that were hungry, people in poverty, and that they ought to always be kind and do something nice. But unbeknown to the parents, this was at Thanksgiving time, that day before Thanksgiving, the children went out through the town and found everybody that was poor, the hobo, you know, the street person, all kinds of handicapped folks, and invited them to their house for Thanksgiving, gave them the address. Parents still didn't know anything about this, and the next day was Thanksgiving, and the doorbell started to ring. But instead of family, it was someone in a wheelchair, it was a hobo, it was a street person. What are you here for? Oh, Mom, we invited them to Thanksgiving dinner. Now, I would venture to say that for most of us, if we would admit it, that would make us highly uncomfortable. Then when all of a sudden we got ready to sit down at our table in our house for our Thanksgiving meal, to have strangers coming, and not just any strangers, but hobos and prostitutes and undesirable and street folks. How many just admit it, that would make you extremely uncomfortable? But I want to remind us this morning, spiritually speaking, at one time, we were the homeless. We were the hungry. We were the strangers. But God invited us to His table, to eat with His family, to feast of His grace, to taste of His goodness. Aren't you glad He invited you to the table? Oh, hallelujah. And I'm telling you, that's the goal of His kingdom. That's the mission of the kingdom people. Fill His house. Invite whosoever will. Invite him to His table. Amen. What's going on in this parable? If we begin in verse 1, we find that it came to pass as He went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched Him. Everything that happens here, this parable that Jesus shared that I read, it happened at the table. Jesus was a guest. It happened as they were eating. And the first thing that happened, and the reason they watched Him, as a man came in that had the dropsy. I mean, he was in bad physical need. And they watched to see if Jesus would heal him on the Sabbath day. And yes, Jesus, though He was at the table, yes, though the meal was in progress, Jesus could not turn away the man that had the need. And right there before their critical, condemning eyes, Jesus looked at the man with dropsy and said, "Be healed." And the man was healed. What I want you to notice, it was around the table where Jesus was sitting that a man was healed. I'm telling you, that's the purpose of the table, for people to get help. It was right there at the supper table that the man got his healing. And can I tell you this morning, it's going to be around the table of the Lord with the fellowship of the saints, with Jesus at the table, that your and I needs are going to get met. I'm telling you, when we're feasting at His table, we can plan on having our needs met, because He will not refuse those that sincerely come to Him. The next thing that happened at the table, Jesus said, "I noticed when you as guests came in, you were jockeying for the best seats in the house." Either those that were closest to Jesus or closest to that host Pharisee. He said, "I saw you come in and you just headed right for the best seat at my right hand or at the host." I mean, you wanted the high seat, the best seat. Well, what do we have here? And Nathan is good to illustrate. He's an important guy. We're just putting him here in this illustration. But you lifted up your eyes from the prayer and look who's sitting on the amen corner seat. I mean, just came walking right up here and sat down. Amen. Jesus said, "You're all trying to get the most important seats in the house." Hallelujah. Amen. The seat where everybody's watching you, and you've got to stay awake because everybody will know if you fall asleep, Nathan. You can fall asleep out there. If you fall asleep here, everybody knows it. Except the preacher, he's looking the other way. Maybe it is a safe seat. Had to have the best seat in the house, didn't you? Sure, just came up here and sat right down. Jesus said, "You know, around my table, it's not like that. You don't be filled with self-importance and say, 'I'm going to take the best seat.' When you come in, you find the worst seat." Amen. Here's why. Jesus said, what's going to happen is another, would you stand up, Brother Rose? Another guest that's going to come in, an important guest, an elder of the church. He's going to come in, and the host is going to take him to the table, but he's going to look, and you're in his seat. And right there, you snuck up here, but everybody's going to see it. He's helping me here. Everyone's going to see what happens now. Right there in front of everyone, the host is going to pick you up from your seat. Everybody's going to see what happens. And he's going to set the elder down, the important man, where in the seat you took. And he's going to take you to the foot of the table, the servant's table, way out in the kitchen, and set you down there. And everybody's going to see it. And then Jesus said, "At my table, he that humbleth himself shall be exalted, but he that exalteth himself shall be humbled. Could I tell you this morning, at the table of the Lord, there's only a place for the humble. There's only a place, not for the proud, not for the conceited, not for the self-promoting, not for the self-assured. There's only places at the table for those that have humbled themselves and say, I need the Lord. Can you say amen? The next thing that happened at the table was that Jesus shared a little bit. And he said, now listen, amen, let's turn this on in. I know how you do, because you're human. You do these things. When you get ready to have guests at a special supper, you invite your family. You invite your friends. You invite the rich folk, the important folk. Why? Because you know, Jesus said, doesn't he know all things? Jesus said, you know, if you invite that friend, that family member, it won't be long till they'll be inviting you back. They're going to reciprocate. It's going to be a mutual thing. But he said, if you really want to be blessed, hallelujah, if you really want to be blessed, don't invite the rich, the family member, the friend. Go out and invite the poor, the maimed, invite the lame, invite those that are blind, because you know they don't even have a house to invite you to. Amen. Why was Jesus saying and all that? He was saying, listen, the kingdom of heaven isn't about doing things to see what you can get out of it. The kingdom of heaven is about giving. And Jesus said, I'll tell you, if you'll quit making the kingdom of God, if you'll quit making church about what you can get out of it, but rather what you can give, I'll tell you what's going to happen. Jesus said, you're going to find a blessing. You're going to be blessed of the Lord. In fact, he said in verse 15, one of them at meat said, verse 12, 14, he said, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot pay you back. Amen. But thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Amen. I'm telling you, if you do things not for what you can get out of it, for the church, the kingdom, but what you can give, Jesus said you're going to be blessed. And at that last day of the resurrection, you're going to be recompensed. I'm going to tell you, everyone that's brought a child that's not yours, brought a neighborhood child, a grandchild, brought them to church faithfully, even in the resurrection, you're going to be blessed. You drove them to church, they can't drive you. Everyone that tarries and prays for somebody that nobody else really wants to pray with, you're going to be blessed in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Jesus said, if you invite every invitation to church, every time you call to check on the sick, every bowl of soup that you took, you never expected to get a thing out of it. But listen, Jesus said, that's the way my kingdom works. Seek to give, and in that day, you will be blessed. These are things that are happening in the kingdom, or at the table. When the people at the table heard this, one of them spoke up in verse 15. And one of them that sat at meat with him heard these sayings, and he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom. And he's right. Blessed is he that eats bread in the kingdom. Sister Wilson, every time we gather at his table, we should be reminded of how blessed we are to be at his table. We could be eating at another table this morning, as Paul says, the table of demons. Amen. But we're not. We're at his table this morning. How many feels blessed to be at his table? At his table. This man was thinking of the kingdom of Israel. He was thinking about the time when Jesus would set up that literal Israelite kingdom, be the Messiah, and restore Israel to her power. But listen, though, that's what the man was thinking about. It's better than that. His table, we don't have to wait till that Israeli kingdom. His table is here at church. Hallelujah. His table is in the kingdom of the here and now. Oh, hallelujah. I'm way ahead of myself, but Jesus has the table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. Hallelujah. With his manna he doth feed and supplies my every need. Oh, hallelujah. You're blessed if you're at the table this morning. Amen. Amen. Jesus is showing at this table, He's going to respond with this parable to this man who thought he was talking about the Israeli kingdom. And Jesus is going to say, listen, this kingdom isn't for Jews only. This kingdom is for all people, whatever shape they're in, wherever they've come from, whatever their background, their nationality. I'm going to invite, Jesus said, all people to my table. And I'm glad he said that, because he was talking about folks just like you and I. If his table is just a Jewish table, we'd be left out. But he's invited everybody to his table. Now that's what was going on. One is the earthly illustration. Look at verse 16. A certain man made a great supper and bade many. I want to tell you, it was a great supper. It was a huge affair. It was a big deal. It was a wonderful time. It was a joyful occasion. I want us to know, remind us this morning, that the kingdom of God isn't a trip to the dentist chair. The kingdom of God is not a summons to an IRS. What am I looking for? Audit. Sorry to say audition. I don't want to audition for it. I don't want an audit for it. The kingdom of God is a big deal. Hallelujah. It's a glorious deal. How many's glad to be a part of the glorious kingdom of God? It's a great supper. Even verse 17, and he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Most people miss this, but in according to the custom of the time, there were two invitations. The first invitation was well in advance. The man sent out the invitation that said, in the future, there is going to be a wonderful supper at my house, and I want you to come. That's the first invitation. But according to the custom of the time, it was after the meal was prepared, ready to be set on the table, that the second invitation went out that says, you know, the supper I invited you to, it's now ready. It's now on the table. Two invitations. I'm going to get ahead of myself, but there's two invitations to this gospel. The first invitation is when you hear the gospel that says, whosoever will, God is inviting you to a great day and a great supper. How many's heard that first invitation? You heard him calling, whosoever will, come to the great supper. But I'm telling you, there's a second invitation one of these days that we're going to hear, and that invitation with the sounding of the trumpet is going to be, you know, that supper I invited you to, it's ready to be put on the table. Why don't you come and sit down with me in my kingdom? Hallelujah. Two invitations. Amen. Verse 18. And they with all one consent began to make excuse. The first said, I've bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. Amen. Now, you know, they begin to make these excuses. But as I've always said, if you really have a good excuse, you don't have to explain. It's when people start splaining, I know there's a weakness to their excuse. Oh, well. As one man said, that went over like a lead balloon. He said, I've got a piece of land that I bought, and I got to go see what I bought. Who buys a piece of land sight unseen? He was broadcasting his foolishness, if that was really his excuse. I mean, we're talking about pre-Craigslist days, pre-eBay days. This is pre-swampland in Florida days. What a flimsy excuse. Verse 19, another said, oh, me too, I can't come. I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I've got to go see how well they pull in the yoke, how well they pull the plow. Have an excuse. Now, here's the thing. No man's going to buy oxen without already have checking them over, already watching how they worked in the field. He could have put this off. He just wanted a trial run on his own land. He could have done this another day. Verse 20, and another said, I have married a wife. I heard people chuckle when I read that. A lot of excuses in the Bible. This is the only valid one. He never knew when he gave this excuse that he set himself up as fodder for thousands of years to be laughed at. Poor man can't even go to supper when he wants to. Wife wouldn't let him. Honey list, do list was too long. I'm going to leave that right there. You can fill in the blanks. You see, some will realize what they're trying to do, though. Some of you perhaps even thought about it. You see, in the Old Testament, the law, the Bible said if you had just bought a house, they could not draft you and send you to war. And if you had just married a wife, they could not draft you and send you to war. You stayed home with your new wife. So they were trying to be biblical about it. Now that's a little aggravating to me when people try to be biblical with their excuses. He wasn't inviting them to the war. He was inviting them to the table. Hallelujah. So flimsy excuses. Verse 21. So the servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. He was angry. He was the lord, the liege lord of the area. His invitation should have been seen as a command. You know, that's the thing I think people miss about the gospel. We hear a lot about gospel invitation, and so we almost make it optional. You're invited to come to Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that are weary. And we almost make it optional. But I want you to know, when the Lord invites you, I'm telling you, if you got an invitation to the White House, you would view that as a command from the president. Wouldn't you? You would view that as a command from the president. He grew angry. The call of the gospel is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not optional. That's a command. It's even written in command form. He became angry and he said, well, if they won't come, go out, same neighborhood, same plat, but go into the alleys, go into all the streets and bring in the homeless people, bring in the common workers, bring them in to be a part of this supper. And he also told him, go quickly. Amen. The food is ready. This is the second invitation. The food's ready. It's urgent. Amen. Supper is ready. I'm telling you, we ought to have the same urgency because salvation is ready. None need wait. There's no time to lose. In other words, what that Lord was saying, I have prepared a banquet and I will have a banquet and there will be folks that'll sit at my table. I don't know how you feel, but I intend on being one of those. Verse 22, and the servant said, Lord, I done that. I went into the alleys of our neighborhood as you've commanded, and yet there is room. What a table that must have been. That thing must have been huge. Invited all those extra folks. And yet, there is room. Oh, those are shouting words. There is yet room. Amen. Amen. Verse 23. And the Lord said unto his servant, go out into the highways and hedges. Go out beyond town. Go out into the country and compel them, persuade them that they come to my supper, that my house may be filled. The instructions were, seek those which are even further removed from your neighborhood. Why? He said, because I want a full house. You know, I believe that's God's will. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I believe God wants a full house. Amen. Spiritually and physically. I believe it'd be the Lord's will to fill every pew up in this place. Hallelujah. Open up the overflow. Fill every Sunday school room up with bus children. I'm telling you, He wants His house full. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, He wants His table full this morning. Verse 24, for I say unto you that none of those men who were originally bidden shall taste of my supper. I think it's frightening here that this Lord said in the parable that those who refuse have no second chance. They're going to be on the outside looking in when they could have been on the inside looking out. I don't know where you want to be, but I want to be on the inside looking out. So what was Jesus driving at? Well, primarily this is about the kingdom, the coming future kingdom, where we're going to join Christ in his kingdom of millennial reign. We're going to join him at his heavenly table. But I want you to know the kingdom of God is always two-dimensional. It's not just then and there in eternity. The kingdom of God is in the here and now. And I want to reiterate this morning that every time we come to church, every time this church gathers, we gather, and we should view it as such. We are gathering for a feast at God's table. You say, Brother Hurst, it's just Sunday morning after Thanksgiving. If you look at that way, that's just the way you're going to look at it. But I choose to look at it another way. We've come together, the believers of God, the body of Christ. And when we gather as the church, we gather for a feast at his table. Oh, hallelujah. How many needs manna? How many needs food and sustenance from the table this morning? Verse 16. Quickly applying this, the certain man made a great supper. I want to tell you, the supper is great. The word great means huge, for a huge number. But if it's for that huge of a number, what a wonderful, festive, tremendous supper it must be. Everything God has is wonderful and festive and great. Verse 17, he said to his servant at supper time, go out and tell them that we're bidden, come. For now all things are ready. Hallelujah. God has it ready. Hallelujah. Every time you come to the table, he has it ready. If you're hungry this morning, God has supper ready. If you're empty this morning, God has it on the table, the very thing that you need. How many knows every time you come to church, Jesus always has prepared the very thing that you and I need. We used to sing, all things are ready, come to the feast. Hallelujah. Ye who are famishing, you weary, come, and thou shalt be richly fed. Hear the invitation. Three words here. He bade many call those that are bidden and tell them, come. I want to say this morning, the kingdom grows through invitations. I've talked about the two invitations, but I want you to know we invite people to come to church. We invite people to come to Christ that they might be ready for that final invitation when Jesus says, come home and sit with me at my kingdom table. Amen. Verse 18, and they all with one consent began to make excuses. We've went through these excuses. I've bought land. Verse 19, I bought a yoke and ox. Verse 20, I've married a wife. However, they put it, those that refused didn't think they needed or wanted that supper. Whatever their excuse was, the reason they made the excuse is they didn't think they needed or wanted that supper. When anyone makes excuse for not coming to Christ, there's but one conclusion. They don't think they need, and they don't think they want that supper. I don't know how you feel. I need it, and I want it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I've been there. Amen. You have a special meeting, and some people always think it's for somebody else. You call for revival. Amen. Folks don't show up because revival's for somebody else. Amen. You preach a sermon. It's for somebody else. Begin to make excuse. Why do they feel like it's for somebody else? It's because they don't feel like they need and want it. I don't know how you feel when it comes to the table of the Lord. I feel like I need it. And I'll tell you something else. I feel like I want it. Amen. The excuses were flimsy at best, and they're almost humorously ridiculous. Amen. I thought of a few excuses. I've embellished them a little. I won't share all of them, but I think of a few excuses I've heard about missing the table of the Lord at church. Here's one. My great uncle's second wife's grandfather's cousin dog got hit by a car, and we all were at the vet praying for it. You think I'm exaggerating? No. It's the end of May. I didn't come because it looked like it might snow. Of course, in Ohio, that's not really far-fetched. I better get off these in a hurry. I've even heard things like this. Well, we got in a fuss right before church, and we didn't want to come to church and be hypocrites. Don't come and be hypocrites. Come pray through. I almost had Brother Dirt just go ahead and play. But how many remember that old song, Excuses, Excuses? You hear them? Well, the whole family stayed home just to blow that poor kid's nose. That's a big nose. We better get off these excuses. Notice that none of the excuses said, I don't want to come, but rather I would come, except for this thing. Amen. I'm telling you, when it comes judgment day, folks will have no excuse. Hallelujah. Verse 21, so the servant came, showed the Lord these things, and the master was angry and said, go out into the streets and the alleys and bring in these people in pitiful shape. Amen. Those that were invited wouldn't come. It made me think of what Jesus said. I think it's one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Jesus said to the crowds he spoke to, he said, you will not come unto me that you might have life. In other words, you could if you wanted to, but you will not come unto me that you might have life. Sometimes I feel a little bit what the Lord of the Supper felt. Amen. I've prepared messages and studied and prayed. And some folks, amen, with flimsy excuses don't show up. And my wife says that's like a woman fixing a meal. And either the people you invite don't show up or the ones that come sit there and they won't eat anything. Hallelujah. It ought not to be that way in the kingdom. He bids us to a wonderful feast. Amen. Whatever you think is an excuse, put it aside. Because when you get at the table, oh, what a wonderful time and experience to feast at his table. I thought about those poor servants that had to come back and tell the Lord, we invited them, but they wouldn't come. I felt a little bit of that too. Even feeling God dealing with folks, dealing with unbelievers, drawing them to an altar, amen, preaching the invitation of the gospel, and they just won't come. If you've witnessed to someone, you have felt that, they won't respond. You ask the Lord, Lord, why don't they respond? But the point is, there's some folks that just aren't going to respond to the invitation. They'll make every excuse they can. But I want to tell you something else. There are some that will respond to the invitation. They may be maimed. They may be poor. They may be blind. But there are some folks that are going to say, yes, that's what I want. I want to be born again. I want to be saved. I want to sit at his table. And so could I say to you, let's just keep on inviting. Hallelujah. Verse 22, the servant said, I've done that too, Lord, and yet there's room. I thought of that old song, though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. Some people have a magnanimous nature. Their car can already have, their Volkswagen Bug can already have 10 people in it. And someone else said, can I go? And they'll say, oh, there's always room for one more. You ever notice people like that? Table's already full. Can't get another. But oh, come on in. There's always room for one. I'm telling you, with God, that's a fact. Oh, come on. Let's shake the turkey off. Hallelujah. I said, with God, it's a fact. There's always room for one more. Hallelujah. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Hallelujah. The people already at the table could never eat it all. There's room for another. Amen. The people at the table could never exhaust the supply. I want you to know why. The bread never quits coming. The fountain never dries up. The barrel of meal is never empty. None are turned away for a lack of something to feed them. God's never had to turn someone away and say, I didn't have enough grace. I didn't have enough mercy. I didn't have enough blood. He's never turned anyone away for the lack. Verse 23, the Lord said to the servant, go further, go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come into my house, and my house might be full. I've said it 3, 4, 5 five times. Let me say it one more time. God wants His house full. He has prepared the very thing people need. He has prepared the very thing that will satisfy the hearts of people. He has prepared the very thing that will fill the void of their hearts. Hallelujah. And He expects we as inviters to have a sense of urgency. Come to His table. He has what you need. Listen, friend, your life's a mess. Your marriage is a mess. Your family's a mess. Even the economy's a mess. But come to His table. He has what you need. Compel them. Persuade them. Be full of urgency and passion. Come to the table. And listen, you don't have to be ashamed that you bring someone to His table and their need be unmet. If they come willingly and sincerely, He'll not refuse a one, and He has enough to meet their need at His table. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord asked those that refused to come would have never asked and never believed could have been sitting at the table of the Lord. Those that refused, those rich farmers that had enough money to buy land, had enough money to buy oxen, they would have never believed that the Lord would ever ask those poor, maimed, those halt folks to His table. They never believed they'd be sitting at His table. You better be careful how you judge folks. I remember a man named Sam Walton. No one knows who Sam Walton. Made Target, right? No. Walmart. Hey, man, Brother Keith, you know Neosho is Sam Walton country. And there were times he'd visit his Walmarts in that area. And an old beat-up pickup truck, hound dog in the back, and wearing overalls. He was in the Neosho store one time when I was in there. Everybody came saying, Sam Walton's over there. Go see him. I never went. Several of them went, ran over. Yeah, he was dressed. You saw him, you wouldn't think that he had a dime. But in the 1980s when the stock market failed, and I believe he lost $4 billion, he shrugged his shoulder and said, it's just on paper anyway. He may never believe it. Amen. You look at someone, say they're too bad to be saved. They've done too much wrong. They're a mess. They're crazy. Amen. Their lives are so out of kilter, they'll never be at the table. Oh, don't underestimate what God can do. You invite Him, and once they get at the table, you won't be able to tell them from any other saying. Glory to God. I said, hallelujah. Verse 24, for I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste my supper. Those that I invited, I'm not going to send armed men after them. I'm not going to force the refusers to come. I'm telling you, the sad thing is the ones that made the excuses of, amen, and will never know the richness of feasting at His table. They've cheated themselves by their excuse. I mean, I could go into these excuse makers are a type of the Jews. He came into His own and His own received Him not. So Jesus moved out and invited those in the alleys. He invited the Samaritans, the outcast of Israel. But His house wasn't full. So He went beyond the outcast of Israel and He came to we Gentiles. He went into the highways and the hedges, and He compelled whosoever will. And when you look around His table, they're from every tongue and every nationality and every background and every circumstances. Hallelujah! I'm glad He's made the invitation. So as we do, as I close, let me summarize what should we do because of this parable. I want to talk first of all to the believers. Here's what I say to we believers. We've heard the first invitation. There's going to be that final supper. We must make sure we're prepared for the second. As these men, I've seen those that accepted the first invitation to Christ, but they didn't stick with it long enough to hear the second invitation to the marriage supper in the sky. Secondly, I say to we believers, we are those God has chosen to invite folks to the banquet. He's chosen us. And then I say to the believers, we should feel the urgency and passion and be persuasive with people in inviting them to take part of this supper. Last of all, I say to we believers, we should not pick and choose whom we invite, but invite whosoever will. Then I'd like to say to any unbelievers that may be here or listening online this morning from this parable, I would like to say, regardless who you are, regardless of where you've been, Regardless of what you've done, Jesus wants you at His table. Oh, isn't that wonderful? I like to say to the unbeliever, you will never know a more wonderful, satisfying place than seated at His table. I'd like to say to the unbeliever this morning, as the parable said, there's always room for one more. I'd like to say to the unbeliever, someone is going to sit at His table. Someone will be sitting in the seat that could have been yours if you refuse. It might as well be you in your seat at His table. Then I'd like to talk to us collectively as a church, briefly. But from this parable, we invite folks to a joyous occasion, a feast, a banquet. Hallelujah. I'd like to say to the church one more time, you that are counting, you can tell me after service. We always have counters. But God wants us as a church to fill His house. Amen. Fill His house. He wants His house full. And last of all, I say to the church, this is His house. He can fill it with whomever He wills. We're not the ones to decide. The Lord adds to the church. Hallelujah. I remember years ago when I first started pastoring, I began to pray a prayer. I began to pray, Lord, just send them in. I'll pastor whomever you send. Amen. I believe we have Sunday school teachers like that. I believe we have youth pastors like that. I believe we have people like that. I'm not saying some people are better than others. I'm just saying some people are more messed up on sin than others. Oh, hallelujah. I was telling Sandra this week some of the things my dad said to me when I first got called to preach, and one was, he said, if you ever pastor, here I'm 17 years old, if you ever pastor, never have favorites and never take sides. And I'm telling you, it don't matter. I'm thankful for everyone, but background, amount of money, amount of education, geographical origin shouldn't matter anything, because when we get at His table, there's no big I's and little U's. We're all important because we're all sitting at His table. Oh, hallelujah. Would you come, music? I couldn't help from thinking, it's been several years since I preached about it, but after David got control of the kingdom, even he began to ask, is there any way? In 2 Samuel 9:3, he said, is there not any yet of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba, that's the servant of Saul, said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's son. This Mephibosheth, this man that was lame, when he was out on the street, everybody could see his lameness. Everybody could see him being carried or hobbling along. It was evident to everyone in his neighborhood, everyone at his workplace if he had one. But I'm telling you, once Mephibosheth got to the table of the king, those old lame, twisted legs were not in sight. They were up under the king's table. And when you saw Mephibosheth at the king's table, he looked as healthy as anybody else. He looked like everybody. He looked like one of the king's son. Amen. That's why we invite people. You've got messed up things in your life. You've got messed up relationships. There's things in your past you're not proud of. I'm telling you, get to the king's table. When you're sitting at the king's table, those things are hidden by His grace and by His mercy. And I'll tell you something, He'll do more than just hide those things. He'll straighten out the twisted limb. He'll fix what's been wrong. He'll give you a new life, a new heart, a new beginning. And it's His invitation, come to my table. Let's stand and thank Him that we've heard the invitation. Could you do it across the building? Thank Him this morning. He's invited us to His table. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Let's go ahead and praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've been invited to His table. Hallelujah. We've been invited to His table. Oh, hallelujah. Move, Spirit of God, right now. Let's seek Him, church. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, take over. Hallelujah. Speak to hearts right now. Holy Spirit, may make the invitation personal. Make the invitation personal, Spirit of God. Make the invitation personal this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Heads are bowed just for a moment. If you're here this morning and you can say you're not seated at His table this morning, you're not a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've not surrendered Him your heart and life, you've not asked Him to cleanse your heart and given yourself to His grace and mercy, if that's you this morning, I want to give you an invitation. When we open these altars in a moment, I want to give you an invitation. Come to His table. Come to His table. He has what will meet your need. He has what will satisfy your soul. Hear the invitation. Hear the invitation. If you're here this morning, you've heard the invitation. I want to tell you what's just so wonderful. And that is, for every once in a while, we just re-humble ourselves and say, oh God, I don't deserve to be at your table. I'm not looking for any high seat. I just want to keep my place at the table. God, I'm not worthy of it, but thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you that you allowed me to hear the invitation. Thank you that you allow me to sit as one of the king's son at your table. Amen. I'm going to open this altar for everyone in just a second, but I want you to do something. If we could use our imagination, when you come to this altar, when you find a place to pray, imagine that you're coming to the table to feast on His goodness. You're coming to the table to feast on His grace. He has what your soul needs. Could we begin to come across the building, everyone? Come and feast at His table. There's manna from above. Amen. Feast on His goodness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Amen. Come up to His table. Lord, I've got to have help. I need help. I need something for my soul. I need strength. I need ability. I need your presence. Hallelujah. Jesus satisfies the longing. Hallelujah. Just why don't you thank Him as you come that He's invited you? Could you do that? Thank Him that He's invited you. Thank you, Lord, that you invited me to your table, into your kingdom. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Lord.